small. I feel like I've lost 7 pounds just watching that. But you know, we should look at those kind of things and feel a little bit small because, wow, that's so big. But at the same time, it kind of makes me think, I actually feel a little bit taller. Because, you know, all of those stars and all of those universes and the galaxies, and did you catch the thing at the end about being there being more stars in the universe than grains of sand in the desert, but more atoms in the sand than there are stars in the universe? If that does not blow your mind right now, you are brainier than me. But it just makes you think, do you know what? I might be like a little tiny insignificant dot when you look at it like that, but I know the God who made me. And I know the God that made me made all that stuff too. Yet he made all that stuff big and massive and far away and beautiful. Yet he still is really concerned and interested in me. In me. And that same God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, and he uses that power to live inside of us. That same power. So don't worry about universes and galaxies and stars and atoms and all of that. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside you guys, inside you girls, inside you guys. Does that make you feel bigger? He should. So sit up a little bit straighter this morning. We've cheered up, haven't we? We've woken up. Let's sit up straight and just think about, thank you, Jaden. Just think about that. Who you are, where you are in the galaxy, where you are in your Father's eye. It's so good to see you, as I've already said. Did you all receive a goodie bag on your way in? I hope so. Yeah, in there you will find lots of goodies, including some paper and a pen if you wish to take notes as we go on through. Please do take notes, because one, I find it helps me stay awake and engaged. It's just me. But also, when we get to like next week and this day is just a distant memory in the far, far galaxy of our life, it's good to look back, isn't it? And think, I'm sure God said something to me about this. I'm sure someone said something really interesting that's going to help me through this next situation. So yeah, delve in there. That's good. I like hearing those rustles. What I want to do today to start off is I want you to turn to the person next to you, turn to the lady who's sat next to you, and have a good look at her. Just really, like, you're allowed to do the whole look you up and down thing, okay? It's really important that you do that, because I can guarantee, don't say anything mean, only nice things, no. When you leave today, that lady is not going to look the same, and nor are you. Absolutely not, because if you've come prepared to hear from God, the living God, and receive from him, and just take a step into the great unknown of your life with him, you are not going to be the same ever again. This is a really important day. For some of you, it might be the first time that you have heard or are going to hear about our way beyond us, God, our way beyond me, God. For some of you, it might be a reminder, a bit of a refocus. A bit of a prompt or a nudge. Hello, I'm here. For some of you, it might be a day that ruins you. That word came to me as I was preparing. That our way beyond me, God, wants to ruin some of us. Let me talk about that a little bit. Ruined, because once your eyes are opened to the massive, wide, free space of life that God has for you, once you've opened yourself up to the challenge and the excitement of living in that faith zone, leaning into him for everything you have, no looking back, just going forward into whatever is there, you are never the same again. You're ruined by his grace. Amen. There's no substitute to this way of life. No substitute. I'm going to share with you a little bit of my journey. And this is just my journey. It's very, you know, personal to me. But I'm hoping that there's some things in here that God has kind of done in me and I can now talk about a year later, that it's just going to inspire some of you and encourage some of you. Because your walk, your life, where God takes you, is not going to look like mine. It's not. These boots are mine and I'm not sharing them or swapping them. This is me, but we can all learn, can't we, from the Word of God, from the truth, and from each other. And so I'm just hoping that it's going to inspire you a little bit. And then Helen's going to come later and make what I said sound right. No pressure. She's awesome. Is that okay? You ready? Awesome. So I'm so happy that the Grimsby girls are in the house today. Yeah, another root for the Grimsby girls. Because these girls are such a huge part of my story, literally, over the last couple of years. If you don't believe anything I say during this talk, then you can go and ask them, and I'm hoping they'll corroborate, because they literally walked every step of this with me up to Laken Heath. They prayed for me, they supported me, even when it was hard, because there's a cost involved sometimes with this kind of life. Some of them, one person in particular, who knows who she is, literally held me up and gave me a kick up the backside every now and again in the name of Jesus to keep me going and keep me on the right track. I'll talk more about her later. But they were with me, and we all need people like that, don't we, in our lives? Yeah. So who is this way beyond me God? Okay. Well, I've known him since I was about 16. Kind of heard whispers of him throughout my childhood. You know, did the whole church thing. Hold on. Misbehaving notes. But when I was 16, I think that was when we really got serious in our relationship. But he has known me a lot longer. And I love that about our God. Did you know that he's known you guys since even before you were a glimmer in your parents' eyes? You were like up there with him in creation. He was just waiting for the right time to bring you into being. But he's known us forever. And so I'm confident, and I know that actually because he's known me for that long, there's things that I can look back in my journey in my life, even before I knew him, that I can see now that, oh, that was you, God, wasn't it? That was you working. You put that there, that situation to do this in me, to move me this way, to change me that way, to teach me that thing again. But you were there. And that just fills me with hope. I learned really early on, from about the age of 16, that he had a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life too. He had a plan for my life. And I remember around that age, just before I went to university, there was a moment where I almost physically chose to step into that. You know, I was doing church, I was doing the youth group, I was doing, you know, everything that a young Christian teenager should do, but I wasn't, you know, committed 100%, I've got to say. But there came a point around that time where I was like, this is it. I've got to go for it. And I've always been that kind of person, really. I'm either in or I'm out. I can't do the, you know, the in-between. So I went for it. I chose to step into it. I literally said to him, God, whatever it is, wherever you want to take me, please not Africa, wherever it is, I will go. And I stepped into it. And I tell you now, that was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of the end of me and the beginning of him and all he has for me. And that's where we all need to be daily. The end of ourselves, the beginning of him. That's when he can move. So, to Grimsby. We, Rich and I, my husband, we led a Willows Community Church in Grimsby for 7 years. And it was a great time. Learned lots, loved lots. But after about 7 years, we felt God beginning to stir something in us. Anyone ever had that? Just that kind of, just an unsettled kind of, okay, something's going to happen, not quite sure what. Just this stirring. There was no loud booming voice. There was no prophecy, no, you know, anyone coming up to us and telling us really helpfully exactly what it was God wanted us to do. But we just recognized this whisper of his. We'd heard it before, and so we waited. We just waited. The whisper began to get a little bit louder. The promptings began to come. Different things happened. I had a very significant conversation one day over breakfast with my amazing friend Louise, and she, oh, bless her, she just doesn't know what she knows now, but at the time, she didn't know what she was saying. She looked at me, and we just had a great Sunday morning, haven't we, and the church was packed, and great things were happening, and she looked at me over, I think, posh scrambled eggs on toast, I think it was that day, and she said, you and Rich, you've done your job now, haven't you? You've done what you know, you came here to do. And I went, have we? Oh! And that really was the beginning of the end, right there and then. It was like, it's just a confirmation. And she was right. We had gone to Grimsby with a really clear mandate to kind of just get into the church and change the culture, turn it into a community church, get the community welcome in, you know, do all of that. And we'd got to a point where, yeah, we'd looked out on that same Sunday morning and gone, wow, God, you are amazing. It had happened. And so, yeah, we'd done it. God had done it. And so around the end of year of 2014, Rich and I had a conversation and we kind of spoke it out. I think we'd avoided talking about it to one another up until that point, just in case, you know, the other wasn't really thinking that at all. But we spoke it out, and there we go. And then things started happening. So around this time, interestingly, Rich made a connection with Pastor Vince from Lake and Heath. Random, weird coincidence of a thing happened. They'd gone to a missions forum, and Vince was the first person that we'd seen when we walked in, and we were like, oh, we like this guy, he's American, excellent, really friendly, yeah, close to our hearts, we'll get there. And we sat with him, and we chatted with him, and it turned out that Vince was involved in some mission work in Kenya with the very same church group that Rich had just gone to Kenya to work with. Okay, connections forming. We were like, this is good. We'll just, you know, build a friendship. Brilliant. Great guy to have a connection with. In February of 2015, we're moving on. Vince and Lisa invited us down. And Rich had already said to me at this point, oh, I think Lake and Heath is the place. I think it's more than just the Africa thing. And I'm thinking, phew, not quite ready to go yet. But he's like, I think there's something here. So we were driving down to Lake and Heath, and I remember this clear as the day. I'd never been here before, never met Lisa. We were going to stay in the house. I was full of the most horrendous, snotty, ugly cold you could ever imagine. I was just so ill. And we're driving down, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to spend two nights, was it? I can't remember, two nights in the stranger's house. And I'm really ill, and what if they don't like me? And oh, what if they haven't got any paracetamol and all of this kind of stuff? And we're driving down, and Rich is going, okay, so how are we going to play this? And I'm like, we're not playing anything. We're going to keep it cool. We're not saying anything. You've had no conversation with Vince about us coming. You have no clue. He might just be humouring you. Just, you know, because it's really hard not to humour Rich, as he's very keen. I'm like, we say nothing. We just go, and we just learn about Africa and, you know, get to know them, and nothing, okay? He's like, okay, nothing. Okay. So we go in. And we sit in the lounge, I think Lisa was at work, and Vince was sat across from us in his big armchair. And if any of you have, well, most of you know Vince, but he's quite a big, imposing gentleman. I was terrified the first time I met him. And he sat there like this in his armchair looking at us. And Rich is sat next to me. And he says, so Rich, how are things going in Grimsby? And I looked at Rich and he went, well, actually, Vince, we think God's telling us we're going to move to Lake and Heath. And I think I actually did hit him. I was like, playing it cool. Playing it cool, Rich. I think we're going to be taking Heath. And Vince says nothing, which is really helpful at that point. Nothing. I'm just in shock. Kind of like, should we just go now? I was like, they don't like us, Rich. Anyway. So Vince literally did not say anything for about, it felt like a year, but it's probably only about 10 seconds. You know it's true. And I'm like, at this point, nervously laughing, / sneezing and snotting everywhere. And he said, so Amber, what do you think? And I'm thinking, I'm going to kill my husband when I get outside. I just said, well, I do feel the same, but I would really appreciate knowing how you guys felt, because if you just want us to get back in the car and go, you know, that's fine. This can be an awkward thing that we could just never talk of again if we've got this wrong. And he looked, and he looked some more. That man does not give anything away. And he just went, I feel it too. Oh, hallelujah. So Rich got to live another day. So that that was awesome. But you know what? That was the scariest moment of my life at that point, because it was speaking out something that actually we kind of knew God had said to it. But until you actually say it out, it doesn't really make it real. And at that point, bam, it was our reality. So then we kind of had these conversations. And you know, Rich, I mean, God had like planned it. He likes plans. He likes schedules for these things. Vince said, so when do you guys think you're going to come? Rich said, we're coming August 16th. Vince was like, well, you might want to just take your time. You know, you've got the church to think about in Grimsby. You've got, you know, schools and, you know, jobs. You have to get a job, you know, pay your way. And Rich was like, yeah, that's fine. August 16th. That seems a good date to us. It's February now, okay? We hadn't even broken off dear friends' hearts yet by telling them. So, and here's the thing. Vince, he used these words, you know, just be careful. Be sensible. Be, you know, safe. But as soon as he said those words, something else started rising up in us, and that was this reaction. But my God isn't sensible. My God is not someone that we can rationalize and explain and put in a box and kind of contain in our parameters with what we're comfortable with. When God has said something to us, if it's not looking impossible, then it's probably not God. So actually, August 16th, great, let's go for it. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6 says this. I might just read the first three verses. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We could not see August 16th. Like, in my physical human eyes, that was not happening. But it had been spoken out. It was happening. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, just him speaking out, so that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible. Wow. So actually, when God is saying to you, do you know what? I want you to go here. I want you to do this. I want you to pay that. I want you to speak to that person. And it's something that you've never, ever imagined or expected him to do at any point in your life. Go for it. Because that is faith in action. That is living a way beyond me life. For our way beyond is God. Christine Kane, in her book, Undaunted, says this. If there is not a supernatural gap in our vision, which only God can fill, then it requires no faith, only natural skill and ability. We must be careful that we do not try to so control every aspect of our lives that there is no room for God to interrupt us and disturb our plans for his cause. It's only when we live in the faith realm that we begin to do the extraordinary, for faith is the currency of heaven. I love that. Who wants to be, and maybe you didn't when you arrived here this morning, but who wants to be a woman that has room in her life for God to interrupt her day, interrupt her plans, your plans for whatever you've got going on, so that he can do something extraordinary and get the glory, amen, and see the world changed? That is what living by faith is about, living in the faith zone, just going for it. The more impossible it is, the better. You see, God, he responds to that activation of faith. He responds to that movement. You can speak it out, but you've also got to move. And for us, saying the words, August 16th, was a very definite move. And God began to do his thing. You've got to take the first step. And this is the thing. People said to us, well, how can you make a plan? You haven't got a house. You haven't got a job. You haven't got schools for the kids. You don't know the area. You've got all this to sort out in Grimsby first. How can you make a plan? Like, how can you do that? That's silly. Well, actually, I disagree. Because at least if you have a plan and you're open to God and the supernatural to interrupt and distract it, there's something there for him to work with. You know, if we just kind of spend life sat in our armchair looking through our diaries and our planners for the day and thinking, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but not actually kind of expecting him to do anything or being prepared to get out there and at least start, you know, God can always tweak you. You know, tweak, hinge, you know, whatever the word is. If you're kind of walking one way and actually you kind of are going off in your own little world a little bit, him just nudge you back if you're open to it. That's okay. Tweaking's fine. Don't be afraid of that. Got to take the first move. Did you know that I actually think I've written nearly impossible, but I think it's actually impossible to change the direction of a ship when it's in dock, when it's anchors down. I'm thinking it's pretty difficult because it's stuck. There's nowhere for it to go. But once a ship has started propelling itself out of dock into the open water, in my huge sailing experience, know that it only takes just a gentle little nudge of the wheel or the steery thing or whatever for the ship to move, right? Just hear the God in this. Don't just work past me. But do you get what I'm saying? It only takes, you know, that God, that ship is going in this direction. And actually, oh yeah, the captain's thinking, actually, I need you over here a little bit. I'm just going to nudge you a little bit. You're still moving. You're still going. You're still heading towards where you're meant to be. Just being tweaked a bit. It's all good. You've got to get out there. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says this, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So you've got to have a plan. Even if it's radical and supernatural and extraordinary, nobody else gets it. Just have a plan and step out in it and let God establish your steps as you go. Isaiah 42 verse 16 says this, I will lead the blind, that's me, I will lead the blind in a way they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things that I do, and I do not forsake them. That's our God. Our God said, move. Our God said, take a step, and I will sort everything else out. You don't know where you're going. I'd never been to Lakin Heath before. I'd never even heard of Lakin Heath before. I'm like, there's what? Where is it? Suffolk? Where's that? It's a whole other country. We just set out August 16th. We had no job. We had no house. We had no schools. We had no idea how we were going to do it. It was the beginning of the end. The end of us and the beginning of him. So here's what happened. I'm going to go really fast. First of all, I got a job. Possibly the best ever job. I mean, God is so clever. And he has an amazing sense of humor. Got a job in the best coffee shop, the fastest growing coffee shop business in the UK, possibly the world, I think. Costa Coffee. Part-time job. Literally, this is hilarious. I walked in, I'd had a whole week of like job hunting, handing my CVs in, nothing happening, feeling really like, ugh. The job I'd gone for that I really wanted, that I thought was me, yes, that's me, I'm going to do that. Completely fell through, rejected. Ugh, that hurts, doesn't it? You're not good enough for this. And moving on, dealt with that. We got to Costa. Into Costa, we were staying in a hotel across the road, which said, oh, look, Costa Coffee, they're hiring. Have you got any CVs left? I was like, I've got one left. It's got a footprint on it because I'd like thrown them all down in disgust. And it's crumpled. I can't take that in. We're just like, take it in. Oh, my goodness. So we went in and I went up to the counter and the manager was there. And he said, oh, hello, can I help you? I said, oh, yeah, he said, do you want a coffee? I said, oh, no, thank you. He said, you're not a Starbucks drinker, are you? Well, I was, but not anymore. Not anymore. No, never. Hide the cups. I said, actually, we're looking to move down August 16th, apparently, and we need a job. I was wondering if, you know, I could have my CV. And he went, oh, yeah, fine, cool, give it to me. And I literally saw him just, like, you know, throw it on a pile. I now know this is normal for him. He did that. And I just walked out there, and I was like, okay, whatever. We drove back to Grimsby. By the time we got back to Grimsby, I had 3 missed calls on my phone from Dan, the manager. He said, Amber, I'd really like to meet you again and have you down for an interview. Is that okay? Thinking, okay. So I rang him up, arranged for an interview. Again, by this point, I was very tired and kind of a bit done with it. I was just at the end of myself. Got in the car, left Grimsby at like 6 o'clock in the morning, drove down for an interview. Possibly not the best way to prepare for an interview. I won't be, you know, opening at my recruitment business anytime soon, but I didn't even put any makeup on. I just brushed my hair back. I had to wear black clothes because I was doing like an on-job thing. No makeup. I was just like, in the car, I was like, God, if this you, great. I'll do it. I'll do it to my best. Just, you got to do it. I can't try anymore. Ding. Walked in, sat down for the interview. The first question was, have you had any experience in a coffee shop? Nope. Oh, and then it went on from there. Then I did a practical thing, and within 20 minutes of doing this practical thing, seeing me, you know, I said, I haven't ever worked in a coffee shop, but I love coffee, and I love people. And that was good. And I did this practical thing, and within 20 minutes, they'd offered me the job. And I literally walked out and went, what just happened? I think I've got a job. So went back home. That was awesome. Costa Coffee. Now, Costa Coffee, another interesting journey. I've gone in there open. You know, God, whatever you need. At first, I was struggling to get more, like the hours I needed each week for, you know, money and being able to live and stuff. And it was a bit of a struggle. And every time I felt like, I'm just going to talk to the manager and just see if I can wangle something or if I can, you know, work some situation out that I can get some more hours or, you know, whatever. I really felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Shut up. That's okay. It's how he talks to me. Shut up. Don't say anything. Don't speak. I was like, eh. And there are a couple of situations that happened where I was made to, I hadn't done anything, but I was made to look bad in front of, you know, other colleagues. And I wanted to just jump out of my seat and be like, but it wasn't me, or I didn't do that, or blah, 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 you know. And every time the Holy Spirit said, be quiet, say nothing. Is this from me? I'd be like, yes, then let me deal with it. I kid you not, you know, there was lots of praying around those times, but every single time, every end of the month I would get to, and I'd need like an average kind of month, average number of hours, every single month, when I kept my mouth quiet, I had those hours. Every single month, we were blessed beyond our wildest dreams. The months when I kind of gave in a little bit and tried to defend myself or tried to explain or tried to wangle or whatever, not so good. Interesting, isn't it? We just got to trust God. 6 months later, they offered me the assistant manager's job. What? Assistant manager's job? With a view to becoming the manager next year, but that's a whole other conversation. We'll talk about that some other time. But this is, do you see what I'm saying? This is God doing this. This is not me. This is, I could not even imagine or make this up. Like, I wouldn't make stuff like this up. This is just me stepping out into whatever God has. So the job at Costa came. Rich got a job at the co-op in the village. This is hilarious. My husband is amazing. He literally said, yeah, we're going to move to Lincoln Heath on August the 16th, and I'm going to get a job in the co-op because it's right in the centre of the village. I'm going to get to know everyone. It'll be brilliant. Everyone went, but are there any jobs in the co-op? No, not right now, but there will be. Short story, he got a job in the co-op. You know, we don't need to talk about that. We got a house. We're renting a house, and I kid you not, we went to the rental agency office to sign the papers, and the lady was kind of filling out these forms with us, and she's like writing down our income against the rent and all of that, and I can see in her face she's like confused as she's writing stuff down, because really we can't afford to live here. Can't afford to live in our house, like on paper can't afford it, doesn't make sense. And she was kind of like, I could see it was almost like you know, like the Holy Spirit was holding her hand and forcing her to like sign the papers off. And we're like, it's all good, it's all going to be fine, it's going to be it was amazing, but that's God. Yeah. Way beyond me, God makes all these things possible. The schools, there was no room in the schools for my kids. Rich said the kids are going to go to the Lake and Heath Village school. Are they? There's no room in that school, it's completely full. We've had like the head of the school and the head of the council tell us, no room. No, there'll be room. I'm like, okay, so we got to the start of September and there still wasn't room. There was room for Beth, but not for Nathan. And I was like, well, I'm not sending them unless they go together. So I'll homeschool. Oh. I'll homeschool. 3 days. 3 days is all it took before the Lord took pity on me and probably my children. And we get this phone call. And again, I could hear it in the lady's voice. Is this Keeble? I said, yes. She said, oh, it's so-and-so from Lake and Heath Primary School. I'm just coming to tell you. Somebody left the school yesterday, so there's room for your son in such and such a class. I went, of course there is. When can they start? And she said, they can come tomorrow. I was like, great. And off they went. Amen. God is so good. So good. I mean, I don't know who he had to move on or, you know, whatever. I'm really sorry, but they're probably in a better place. But he made room. He made room for my son just because we dared to dream. And just to stick with what we knew he'd said. So move day was August 16th. This is who our way beyond me God is. Did I struggle along the way? Yes. Yes, I really did. Louise will tell you. My friends will tell you. It was a struggle because we were leaving so much behind. So much behind. Did I want to give up? Yes. I wanted to give up time and time again. Did I want to stay in Grimsby and carry on doing what I knew I could do, what I knew with the people I loved, the life I loved? Yes. And no. And no, because always, always, when you have been ruined by our way beyond me, God, he says, you know what, there's more for you out there. I've spoken this. This is for now. Come on, move into it. Just, you can't let that go. You can't ignore that. And as big and as scary as this whole future was ahead of us, I didn't have the complete picture. All we had was August 16th. That's all we had. As big as that was, there's no more safer or secure place to be than right in the center of God's will. It's the faith zone. It's where he wants us to be. It's a bit like walking a tightrope. You walk along this. This is the line of faith. And on this side, you've got a whole load of fear waiting to drag you in. If you kind of look over there, it's a long way down. Oh, yes, it is. On this side, I think we can have doubt. That's his partner. Doubt. Did God really say that? Sure, you're supposed to be doing that? Why don't you wait a little bit? We have doubt on this side. And underneath, you know, underneath is normally a good thing for tightrope walkers because they have this whole, like, safety net, don't they? That actually, if it gets too hard, they can just jump off and fall into and they're safe. That's not where God wants us to be either. He just wants us to look forward, look up, and keep going. I'm not going to read the scripture, but if you get a chance, read 2 Chronicles from around chapter 20. It tells the story of Jehoshaphat. He was facing an immense army, like the biggest fight of his life. He was terrified. The people were terrified. He had fear on this side. He had doubt on this side. He had like, let's just go back and, you know, just do what they say behind us. Let's go there. And he prays this amazing prayer, 2 Chronicles 20. And he says this, God, we are powerless against this great horde that surrounds us. Completely powerless. We don't know what to do. He literally says that. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And that's all God needed to hear. Your eyes are on me. Okay, keep walking. Keep on moving. Like those girls were dancing to earlier on. If God hasn't said stop, keep on moving. If God hasn't said change direction, just keep on doing what he asked you to do. If you're scared, if you're tired, if you're worrying, if you're not sleeping, whatever, just do it. Do it anyway. Do it afraid. Keep your eyes on him. And just one last thing. Sometimes when we're walking these way beyond me lives, we can have lots of different voices around us. And it's really important that I share this because I'll go back to Vince and Lisa because they love me and I love them. But, and Vince even says this, you know, he told us to be sensible. He told us, you know, just play it safe. You know, don't make any rush decisions. Don't do this. But there was that thing in us that was like, but God said, so I either go with God or, you know, we play it safe. And, you know, my family, I've cleared this with my mother, it's okay. My family, we had conversation after conversation of, are you sure you're doing the right thing? What about the kids? What do you mean you're going from a full-time place of employment to nothing, you know, 10 hours at Costa Rica? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about a house? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And I literally would be like, I don't know. But it's okay. And we found, you know, the more we talked about stuff, the more we looked at stuff on paper, you know, we can't afford that. We can't do that. That's impossible. There's no room there. No room at the inn. There's none of this. This isn't happening on paper. The more we did that, it was almost like we got dragged down. And that's when the sleepless night started. That's when this, like, eternal sick feeling in our stomach came and wouldn't leave us whenever we thought about stuff. But when we chose just to say, do you know what? Can't do anything about all of this around me. This has to be done, has to be dealt with, but it's on you, God, right? Because you said, so you're going to do it, so I'm just going to look to you. And when you look up and you focus on him, that's when stuff happens. That's when stuff happens. So don't be afraid. And we did this. We literally said to our parents over Christmas, I remember, we're not talking about the move. We're just not talking about it. Because we don't want to worry you, and we don't want you to worry us, and we know that you're worried, then you know that you're worried, you know, all of that kind of stuff. We're just not going to talk about it. It's just trust God. Trust God. And it takes a huge wrench in your will and your head just to go, I'm going to look up, and I'm just going to keep going. Let me finish with this, ladies. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Now, this is the verse that God gave me out on a run one day, and it just stopped me in my tracks, and it threw me to the floor, and I was a weeping, quivering wreck. But when I got up, it was all better. It's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, and this is what the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, says. And this is how we've got to live our Way Beyond Me lives. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. So not planning and worrying and stressing and running here and running there and making this phone call and doing that and trying to work this situation. None of that is going to be what fulfills me, Lord. None of that is going to get this done. No. Just come to me. Lean on me. Rest in me. Be quiet, Amber. Be quiet and trust. That will be your place of strength. You see, stress makes you think that everything needs to be done right away. Amen? Well, don't amen that, but you know what I mean. But faith says that everything will be done in God's time. That's faith. And I literally took God at his word. And that is how I think we have to do this Way Beyond Me life. It is that simple. Someone actually spoke over me as I was going through this journey, my mentor and friend. She said to me, Amber, these things, they're just going to be simple. The job at Costa, simple. Co-op, simple. August 16th, course, simple. The schools, simple. All these things, just let it happen. Just let God do it. A supernatural life is just that. It's supernatural. Just go with it. So my journey is going to be different from yours. I know that. You may have heard all this and thought, oh my goodness, I could never do that. Well, I'm most probably going to say the same about the journey God has put you on and the things that he's asking you to do, most definitely. But my heartbeat now, and this whole reason for today, is that I just want to see every one of you just released, empowered, eyes opened, passionately committed just to go in wherever God asks you to go next. Whatever he asks you to do, just committed, and you've got to commit. You can't be in and out. You've just got to be in this Way Beyond Me life. And it's a big life. That galaxy's up there, it's nothing. It's nothing on what the power of Christ in you can do. Amen. I'm going to close with this one verse, and then we're going to have a break. This is Ephesians chapter 1. You guys, I'm sure, know it. It's from The Message, verse 15 to 19. Actually, we'll read from 16. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Got to know him. Your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life, this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy and boundless strength. And all this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. This power is in you. Amen. Step into your Way Beyond Me life, ladies. Wow. Amen. God is good. Thank you for sticking with me. Get encouraged. And like I said, you can check all the details with these girls in the middle there. They know the truth. We're going to have a break, okay? It's time to grab some coffee and some tea, and I'm hoping my coffee machine has worked. Take a break. If you need the bathrooms, there's one downstairs, and then there's several upstairs. Some of them say have a little boy sign on because it's a nursery, but you just feel free to go in there. It's not a problem. Please, you know, make yourselves at home. If you want to get some fresh air, do that. We're going to have 20 minutes, okay? So we're going to come back, I think, at just before 2:15, okay? Is that good? Awesome.